But hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. Let's jump into this real quick. I apologize. I took a little more time than what I anticipated. But you know, we're a house of honor. Can I have a good amen? You can never go wrong with the spirit of honor. And I pray that all of us, you know, maybe you've been on staff a few months, a couple years, maybe you've been on staff for a long time. Honor is the spirit that God blesses, because honor empowers. But when you dishonor, that disables. And so we've created a culture of honor here. I think it's important that we celebrate what God is doing, and then we celebrate the people that God is using. And so Proverbs chapter 27. I'm calling this, the title of this message today is simply this: State of the Union. State of the Union. Write down the number 23. Write down the number 23. The number 23. What's so important about the number 23? Michael Jordan. Yeah. Did Timmy say Michael Jordan? I know. We grew up, we're Jordan fans. Yes, we are. 23 is the number of days until Easter weekend. 23. Guess what? We're believing for a harvest of souls. You know, we've been preaching and praying and preparing and positioning and talking about revival all year long. Listen, we are believing that God is going to bring in souls, young and old, man, from all different walks of life across all of our campuses. I want you to begin to prepare your heart for the harvest that God wants to bring in. You know what? God wants these people saved more than you do. And we're desperate for the lost to come to know Christ. We've dedicated our lives to that. And God says, nobody loves them more than me. And so 23 days from now, we will have our first Easter service. And so I want you to begin to put your mind and your heart in a space that allows you to be ready. Okay, we need to be ready for the harvest. The Bible says Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 4, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are ripe already unto harvest. 23 days. So, okay, I wanted to just give you that heads up. 23. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs was written by Solomon. Of course, Solomon was the smartest, most influential, wealthiest guy that ever lived. How many of you read a proverb every day? I know there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, and so sometimes there's a reading plan that says if it's March the 1st, you read Proverbs 1. March the 2nd, you read Proverbs 2. Why do we read Proverbs? What do you think of when you read Proverbs? Wisdom. How many of you are desperate for wisdom? How many of you need wisdom to do what you do? The decisions that you're required to make, the people that you're serving, the team that you're building, the influence that God's given you, you need wisdom. Well, Proverbs 27, and I want to give you two verses out of this chapter, 23 and 24. I don't know if you memorize scripture. I would encourage you to continue to do that. Maybe it's something that you did. You know, I know when we were in Sunday school, man, we were forced to memorize scripture. Sometimes it's a practice we get away from, you know, as we grow older. But I want to encourage you to get back into that. This is a good couple of verses to memorize. Maybe you need to look it up and screenshot it and keep it in front of you. Maybe you put it on an index card and keep it on your dashboard, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your journal. Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24. Super, super, super important couple of verses. The scripture says this. Solomon says, know the state of your flocks. Know the state of your flocks. Put your heart into caring for your herds. For riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. Let me read that again. I want you to listen, not just with your ears, but listen with the ears of your spirit. Solomon says this, know the state of your flocks. Put your heart into caring for your herds. For riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be secure. It might not be passed to the next generation. I want to break down in those two verses. There are four phrases that I think speak volumes to us. And as leaders, I'm speaking to the leadership element of the church. I know that there's, you know, a handful of us here this morning. I know some more that are watching online. But what's represented in this room, think about it. There are multiplied thousands of people that are represented in this room. because of the people that you lead and the influence God has given you and the lives that you touch. So this morning, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to everybody that you talk to. Are you with me? So this is not just for you personally, but it's for you as a leader. Because as the leader goes, so goes the church. Can I have a better amen? At Easter, we may have 25,000 people gather across all of our campuses. So that number is represented by this group here today listening to this message. I want you to hear this through the context of a leader and the people that you're responsible for. Know the state of your flocks. Put your heart into caring for your herds. For riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. If you look at that first portion, taking notes, write this down. Write down the word responsibility. Somebody say responsibility. He says, know the state of your flocks. It is your responsibility to know the condition of your team. Now listen, you're either leading a team or you're on a team or both. But regardless of where you find yourself, the responsibility to be dialed in, it falls on us. You know, the state of the house depends on the state of the flock. If the staff's not healthy, the church can't be healthy. You've got to dial in to the people that you're leading. In fact, I'll say it this way. You need to dial into them before you ask them to dial into you. You've got to take the initiative of showing interest, care, value. You've got to focus in on them before you ask them to follow you. Flocks need to be fed. Flocks need to be led. Flocks need to be cared for. They need to be protected. And here Solomon is saying, you got to know the condition of your flock. Now, each one of us have different levels of responsibility. And there are a lot of different tools. You say, Mike, how do I know, the heartbeat of my team? There are a lot of different tools that are out there. I know we've got Strength Finder tests and we've got the Myers-Briggs, ENTJ. We got the Enneagram. I'm an 8, wing 9, and all those things. Come on, how many are into that? I'm still trying to understand that. Yeah, Marla is the queen of it. If you got a question, if you don't know what Enneagram you are, she can help you. There are great tools and resources that are out there, but I want you to consider this. The literal Hebrew translation of know the state of your flocks, it literally means look into the faces of your people.
Wow, that's good.
Look into their faces. That's what it translates to. Face to face. I'm thankful for technology and digital ministry, but the best ministry happens face to face. And as you're leading your team, I'm trying to help you as a leader. I'm trying to help you add value to the team that you're on. But if we're going to increase our influence, we got to know the condition of our flocks. You're going to have to ask questions. You're going to have to lean in. And let me, I want you to hear this. Leaders are learners, and learners are listeners. The best way to dial into your flock is to ask questions and listen to what they're saying. One of the things that we're going to do moving forward, and we've kind of teed this up, and we'll begin to explain this and walk this out in a little more detail in the future. But, with the help of some software called Leader, and some really intentional decisions that we're making through our organization, setting up one-on-one meetings with your team, that's going to be a big part of knowing the state of your flocks. When you have those purposeful conversations, it communicates care. It says, hey, I care for you. You are valued. You bring something incredibly important to the team. One-on-ones communicate care and encouragement. It also is a format for a dialogue, communication. Hey, here's the vision of the church. Here's the vision of our team. Here's the purpose, our campus. Here's what we're focusing on. The goals for the next 3 quarters or the next 3 months or for this year. Here's what our focus is. Here's what the culture culture of the house is. One-on-ones not only communicate care, but it also sets up a runway for dialogue and communication. It allows you to set goals, and it gives you clarity both on individual goals and team goals. Knowing the state of your flocks is a big part of leading your team well and then bringing value to the team that you're on. Here's the other thing I think is extremely important is feedback. How many of you know feedback is a leader's best friend? You've got to know how you're doing. You can't just be given an assignment and then never get any feedback. Parents, how many of you know your kids will give you honest feedback? The parent I think I am versus the parent that I really am, the kids will help me fill in that gap. Guess what? You need feedback on how well you're doing. When you're doing well, you need to be celebrated. Man, if something's a little off, man, it's got to be articulated. This is super important. Think about this. You can be off just 1 degree, and you can have, man, yesterday was a bad day. Bad day can turn into a bad week if it's not addressed. Bad weeks turn into a bad month if it's not addressed. A bad month will put you in a funk. Listen, feedback is extremely important. It's like the pilot who is flying from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia. Man, he sets the coordinates of the plane at LAX International Airport. And if he's off in those coordinates just 1 degree, if he's just 1 degree off, 17 hours of being off 1 degree, he's not going to end up in Sydney. He's going to end up in China. You see what I'm talking about? And that's why knowing the state of your flocks, having ongoing dialogue, communication, care, feedback, goals, all these things are super important. Jesus said this in John 10, verse 14. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep. And guess what? They know me. You see, knowing the state of your flocks, it is our responsibility. Here's the second phrase. He says, put your heart into caring for your herds. Number two, write down the word passion. Passion. Solomon is challenging us as leaders to put our heart into caring for our team. You see, in ministry, what we do is not just with the mind. We've got to put our heart into it. Good leaders don't just intellectually know the game plan. They put their soul and their spirit into what they're doing. Now, here's a phrase that I learned recently, and some of you are more familiar with this than I am. I know I'm late to the party. I'm a slow learner. I may be slow, but I'm worth waiting on. Come on, somebody. But there's a phrase out there called quiet quitting. Have you heard that? Read that, kind of learned that, and Miss Ann, you and I are in the same boat, okay? We're rookies here. Quiet quitting, all right? I mean, it's kind of a recently new terminology, but the concept, I think, is old. Quiet quitting is just, it's not outright quitting your job, but it's quitting the idea of going above and beyond. It's still performing your duties, but no longer subscribing to the culture of hustle that you signed up for. There are people, in fact, a recent Gallup survey, okay, this was, I think it was last year, in 2022, Gallup released a poll, and they suggest that up to 50%, half of the American workforce is quietly quitting. That's tough. And I begin to think, wow, I wonder how true is that of this church, of this organization? Are there people just going through the motions and they've detached their heart? See what I'm saying? Solomon says, you got to put your heart into caring for your herds. Now, I know that in ministry, we don't always enjoy everything that comes along with the assignment. In almost 30 years of ministry, I've done a bunch of different things here at the church. Everything from landscaping to senior pastor and everything in between. Our assignments are constantly changing. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't always enjoyed every assignment that I've been given. But I want to teach you something when it comes to your heart, okay? And this is going to be helpful because really we got two things in operation. We have our hand, what's in our hand, and then we have the dreams of our heart. And sometimes we're so focused with the dreams in our heart that we're not being faithful with what God has put in our hands. My challenge to each one of us, because you may be in a season or in an assignment that you don't like what's in your hands. And you know what? That's okay. I've been there too. Guess what? Not everything about this position as the senior pastor, I enjoy 99% of what I get to do. But there's 1% that I agonize over. And guess what? It comes with the job. So I got to pray, Lord, help me to be faithful with what you put in my hand. Too many people are chasing the dreams of their heart and they're neglecting what God has put in their hands. You've got to find a way to put your heart into the things that God has allowed your hand to be a part of. Paul said it this way in Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, somebody say whatever. He says, whatever you do, do it how? Do it heartily. Put your heart into whatever your hand finds to do. Why? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord and not unto man. You see, listen, you can put your heart into something even if your hand doesn't necessarily like it because your motivation is the Lord and it's not your supervisor. Can I have a better amen? You know, sometimes if we're in a difficult season, a tough spot, it may just be a test where God's saying, can you be faithful? Can I trust you to faithfully steward what's in your hands? Then I'll release you to chase the dream that's in your heart. It's going from duty to desire. Let me ask it this way. What do you need to stir up in your own soul based on the assignment that's in your hand? Let me challenge you. Quit despising what God's put in your hand. I'm concerned with a generation that says, I'm only going to do what I love. I'm concerned about that. And I don't want to stereotype and you know, but man, there is something to be said. Well, I'm only going to do what I love. Why don't you start praying, Lord, help me to love what I'm doing? Maybe that ought to be the focus. You see, Solomon says, know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. God, help me not to be quietly quitting, just punching a time clock, just doing what's expected of me. But that hustle culture, that passion, that fire that I once had, I'm already checked out. You see, if we put our heart to the things that God has entrusted to our hands, we raise our capacity and our influence as leaders. Then he says this, riches don't last forever. Number three, write down the word urgency. Somebody say urgency. Riches don't last forever. Leadership is about understanding the times. It's about having a sense of urgency. It's time sensitive. The clock is ticking. I love what 1 Chronicles 12:32 says. Of the tribe of Issachar, they were men who understood the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. I love that combination. And I pray that, God bless you. I pray that God would give us the wisdom of this tribe of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what Israel ought to do. Some people, they know what to do, but they don't have a clue as to the times. Some people understand the times, but they don't have a clue as to what to do. And you know what God wants us? He wants us to have a sense of urgency, understanding the times, and then knowing what to do. Hear me, church. The window of opportunity won't always be open. Solomon says riches don't last forever. You know what that tells me? While we have favor, while we have resources, while we have opportunity, while we have individual talent and ability, while we have health and strength to our bodies, now is the time. You see, leaders, good leaders don't procrastinate and put things off. Today is the day. Now is the time. And this may be a word for somebody here this morning. I feel like this may be something specific that you're praying about. You've been meaning to do it. You've wanted to do it. You know you have to do it, but you just can't pull the trigger on it. This may be a word for somebody today. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. What more do you need from God? God's already done everything to prepare you and equip you to step out of the boat. I was thinking about this. How many seen The Chosen season 3? Has anybody seen it? Have you seen the last episode of season 3? And it's the story of Jesus coming to the disciples. You know, he's walking on water, which is a big deal, by the way. Sometimes we just skim over that. No, Jesus was walking on water. But the disciples were, just captivated by fear. They were paralyzed by fear. They couldn't do anything. They were stuck to that boat. And well, it looks like Jesus, and I'm not sure if it really is. And then Peter steps up and he says, Lord, if it's really you, I think it might be you. It kind of looks like you. I'm not sure. But if it is you, command me to come to you by walking on the water. What did Jesus say? He said, come on. Jesus had done all the work. Listen, if there's 100 steps between you and God, God will take 99. But he always leaves that last step for you. So guess what? Peter had to make a decision. He stepped out of the boat because he understood the urgency. Jesus is there. Let me ask you this. Where's the safest place to be? Wherever Jesus is. Now, the other 11 disciples thought they were safe clinging to that boat, but they didn't realize the danger that they were in. The safest place to be was out on the water with Jesus. Understand the urgency of the times. God, he's not going to call you to do something and then not equip you for it. Now, let me say that again. God will never call you to do something without equipping you for it. Riches don't last forever. Quit procrastinating and start stepping. Now notice what it says. Let me finish this. Is this helpful to anybody? Again, these two verses are fantastic. Memorize them. For us as leaders, man, we've got to. I think God's speaking to us some specific things in this hour. And he finishes by saying this. The crown might not be secure for the next generation. Number 4, write down the word future. Future. The crown might not be secure for the next generation. Leaders are always thinking ahead. Let me say it this way. Leaders are always thinking, what's next and who's next? Somebody say, what's next? Say, who's next? You see, leaders think not just about now, but they think about what's next, what's coming. Now, it's interesting that Solomon would use this word crown. The crown might not be secure for the next generation. What's he talking about? Well, Solomon was king. And you know what a crown represents? Leadership. It represents authority. It represents power. He says the crown might not be secure for those that are coming after you. You see, a crown has to be passed. It can't be taken. And in order for a crown to be received, then somebody's got to sacrifice in order to pass it to the next generation. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think it was last week, I was picking up Trevor. Football season's over, basketball season's over, and now he's in this off-season workout mode. And so they're already starting, you know, workouts, football workouts for the fall. Well, I go to pick him up, and he's not working out, but he's running sprints. And he's got these, you know, 3 or 4 of his buddies. They're practicing for a track meet. I didn't know he signed up for track. It's like, what? What you got going on, man? What's this? Oh, we're just practicing the 4x100. Are you participating? Well, you know, some of the guys from the football team and, you know, the coach asked us. And so I got a meet up in St. Francisville in a couple of weeks. And so I'm just trying to get ready for it. I'm like, okay. Well, tell me about that. And I said, have you ever run 100 meters? You ever run the 4x100? And so I started talking to him about the purpose, the goal of the 4x100. It's four of the fastest athletes. But the goal is to take the baton from the starting line to the finish line. And I told him, I said, Trevor, it's thank God for speed. But you know what? You don't have to be the fastest athlete to win the race. The most important part of the 4x100 meters is that 20 meters called the exchange. There are four athletes that have to pass that baton three times. Somebody starting, and then you got the anchor. And those two guys in the middle, man, they're receiving and they're passing. That 20 meters called the exchange is the most important part of the race. Because you can be faster than anybody on the track, but if you don't know how to pass the baton, you know what it takes to pass the baton? It takes timing. Yeah. It takes technique. It takes teamwork. Good. You know what God is speaking to us? Don't forget about the baton that's being passed. Good. You know why? The crown might not be secure for the next generation. There's a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose. You know, let me ask you this. Who is coming after you? Let me ask you this. What are you leaving them? Let me ask you this. How are you going to pass it to them? One of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is 2 Samuel 18, 18. Every time I read it, I just grieve in my soul. It's about Absalom, one of David's sons. Many of you remember Absalom's rebellion. He tried to steal the kingdom from his father. And the Bible says this, Absalom, 2 Samuel 18, 18. During his lifetime, Absalom had built a monument to himself in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to carry on my name. You know what? If we don't have sons and daughters, then we're only building monuments unto ourselves. I'm going to say that again. Healing Place Church is not a monument to anyone. Man, there is something sacred and significant that we have been given. We have received something that has been passed on to us. Now, you know what we're doing? We're running our lap as fast as we can. But we have to think about who are we passing this on to? Who do you have coming behind you? You got to think, what's next? Who's next? Our future condition, it depends on our current care. Do you receive that today? I know I gave you a lot. I know, and I appreciate how diligent you are in taking notes. Get this in your spirit. This is super, super important. 23 days from now to Easter weekend, God is speaking something specific to us. He's preparing our hearts. He's saying, know the state of your flocks. Man, be responsible. Dial in. Put your heart into the things that are in your hand. Don't despise what's in your hand. Be faithful with what's in your hand and trust God with the things that are in your heart. Why? Because these are urgent days. Riches don't last forever. I don't know how much time we have. I don't know when this season is up, but man, we got to strike while the iron's hot. Man, the lost are in the valley of decision. The Bible says that crown's got to be passed to the next generation.